This is the Backlog Exposed podcast, bringing you weekly discussions on gaming, as well as quick insights into sports, entertainment, and anything else that we can think of. To get in touch with us, ask questions, or just hang out and chat, join us in the Backlog Exposed Discord. Follow us on Twitter at The Backlog Pod, or send us an email at thebacklogexposed@gmail.com. You can find all of our social media information, as well as many different ways to listen to our podcast, by visiting our website, thebacklogexposed.com.
I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
And we are
The Backlog
Exposed.
What's going on, everybody? It's The Backlog Exposed coming at you again with episode... I done lost count. What we're episode at, are we on, Kevin?
We're at 22.
Dreams getting bigger.
Yes, it is, man. Yes, it is.
What you been playing, man?
I've been playing a bunch of games. I actually... I try to dive into some VR stuff because last week's podcast kind of got me a little hyped about some of these games coming in for VR. So, I jumped into Stunt Kite Masters. Before we dive into that, I just want to say thanks to Alex from Play PSVR. He jumped in last week and helped us out with an episode. And then prior to that, we had Darren, old friend from home. From wherever I call home.
Yeah, I listened to those, man. They were a good episode. They were awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah. They did a good job filling in for you, and I appreciate their time and effort and everything. And Alex is a lot of fun to talk to, man. So Adam is his co-host, and Adam is from Kentucky. So we were talking before.
Oh, good old Kentucky boy.
Yeah, we were talking before the podcast, thinking that you guys had something up your sleeve, probably recording a separate podcast without us. So. We were thinking that there's some kind of conspiracy going on, but those guys are great. And so they have a kind of a funny thing going on. Alex he's kind of like me when it comes to games. He'll give everything a try. You know, he doesn't like everything, but he sees the good in some games that most people don't, things like that. And he does have a wide catalog of games to play, and, you know, he'll play games that other people just won't. So Adam rips games apart. Like, if you listen to their podcast, he'll tell it like it is on some of these games and just say that game is straight up garbage, or I would never play that, or whatever.
Oh, I mean, that's how it needs to be, though, dude.
Yeah.
I'd rather have somebody that shreds a game than be like, oh, yeah, it was great, and then you get it sucks.
Exactly. That's why I think it's a great compliment on their podcast. So one of the games that Alex is really adamant about is a game called Stunt Kite Masters, and they have this thing every time they talk about it or talk about what you're playing, and he brings it up, and Adam is like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, that damn game. It's so simple, right? The premise is you're in VR, you're on a beach or the side of a mountain or whatever, and you got the Move controllers, and you're just holding them, and you got that trigger grip. The trigger allows your hands to, you know, grab the two pieces of, like a stunt kite. You know, you got the two handles. And they extend out to a kite that's just like sitting in the dirt or whatever. And you give them a jerk, and the kite lifts off into the sky. And you got to control it.
Nice.
And so, you know, if you turn one way, you pull with left hand closer to your body, the right hand further away, and it'll start turning to the left, and it'll start spiraling out of control. And you got to manage it. That's really all there is to it. And then they have a couple of game modes within it. So they have basically, every time you get one of the gems, like you fly and try to get a gem, and it'll extend the tail of your kite, and you don't want to fly into the tail, so you see how far you can go. And they have free fly.
Almost like Snake.
Mm-hmm. 100% is exactly what it is. Yeah, and then they have free flying, and then they have watch out for the RC planes. So people are flying like drones and RC planes and stuff, and you gotta stay away and avoid them and see, you know, it's like, see if you can go 30 seconds or a minute or whatever.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, for a dollar or two, well worth it. I don't care who you are. If you're Adam, if you're Alex, if you're Joe Schmo, for a couple of bucks, I mean, I just...
Or just me, Joe, that doesn't like playing VR games.
Or just Joe. Yeah, but like...
I need a game that's going to change my mind.
Oh, we're
like, I've played a couple.
We're getting into that today. We're getting into that today.
I just need that one game. It's holy crap, that's it. That's why I'm going to get a VR.
I got it for you, man, and it's not even the one you think. So But yeah, so for a couple bucks, think about this, right? You used to go to arcades, right? When you were younger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how much would you blast on Tekken? Like, I'd go through $30, $40 sometimes.
When I was a kid. Tekken, Mortal Kombat, House of the Dead. I used to spend many a dollar in those machines.
So you think about it, right? They have these games coming out for, a lot of them are $20 or less. Most of them go on sale within a few months of coming out. I'm picking up VR games for $4 or $5 a pop. Sometimes one or two. And they're not old. VR's only been out for 2 years. A lot of these games are less than a year old.
Yeah, okay. And
I'm getting them for a couple bucks. So my catalog continues to grow, but at the same time, it's not breaking the bank. So I jumped into this one. I had fun with it. I played it for a good 20 minutes. It wasn't a long time, but I thought about it, and I paid like $2 or $3 for 20 minutes of time. If I never go back again, it was an experience. I'll probably jump back into it, but I just try to put things in perspective a little bit. If I were grading this game for what it is worth, I'm not going to go say, oh, it's a must-buy or anything like that, but it's a fun game that, If you're looking for stunt kite flying in virtual reality, it really nails it. And a lot of things in virtual reality do that, like pinball effects or Super Hot or some of these games that have like a style of gameplay that really, really is impactful within the VR world. Like this stunt kite game would be nothing on a 2D screen, but inside of a VR, it's something else. It's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't know. I just got to find that one game that's going to get me hooked on VR. I think I'd like it.
I don't want to give it away yet, but I'm going to talk about it in a minute. A couple of other things I've been playing is obviously Fortnite. Dive into that real quick and get through it because I don't want to spend too much time. But I was wondering what they would be doing for Season 6 to compete with the Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And they've been working on some things. They've been trying some different game modes. They've been trying some different things within the games themselves and, getting rid of some weapons, bringing in some new weapons, obviously the costumes and all that shit. But they brought in a new game mode just recently called Disco Domination. And
yeah, man, my kids played the hell out of that thing.
Well, I was going to say, have you tried it?
Yeah, my daughter got 14 damn kills in it.
Yeah, and so this brings Fortnite into a different realm, right? It's no longer a battle royale when you're playing this mode. It's a team deathmatch, kind of. It's a domination style. And I like how they did it. I really thought it was interesting. And, like you said, with your daughter playing, now there's a game mode that my son doesn't get so stressed out about. You know, he's not panicking. And it's a phenomenal...
My Caleb don't either, man. He'll play and...
Yeah, but he's probably blasting 40 people a game.
He'll get killed a couple times in a row, but then he'll get like 4 or 5 kills, and he'll get killed a couple times, you get 3 or 4 more kills, so he enjoys playing that game mode for sure.
Yeah, and it's also great practice, especially for those like tight moments.
Yeah, 100%.
So I've been trying to play to get better at the moments where I know I suck. I mean, sniping, definitely getting much better with sniping by sitting back and just focusing and just practicing where the bullet goes when I fire, and I've definitely noticed a significant increase there. And also the close quarters, like people coming at you and you got to ramp up and blast them with a shotgun or something. And a lot of people usually get the better of me. And now with this game mode, I'm at least able to just get constant pushing and pressure. So I'm digging that a lot. And I actually prefer it.
I think I'm 100% done with Fortnite though, man.
If you are, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But I haven't seen you on. Did you block me?
After playing Blackout, dude, oh my God.
Did you block me?
That
because I just have not seen you online for two weeks, man. The only person inviting me is your son. 100 times.
Dude, he's always on Fortnite, dude. He's like, Dad, I want to invite Kevin. I'm like, no, man, leave Kevin alone, dude.
He's welcome to, but it was just
on,
funny.
And I want to play.
A lot of times I just have it on, but I'm not playing. It's just sitting there. So like the other day, my character was in that screen, but I'm over here doing other things, and I see him pop in, and then he pops out, and then he pops in, and then he pops out. And I didn't have the audio on or nothing, but that's when I sent you a message. I'm like, is that you or him? So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun, man. He's He's doing what he loves. He's doing what he loves. He'll be sitting where we are goofy, in 30 man. Years. Oh, yeah, he is, man. He's awesome.
But yeah, I was playing a couple of days ago, dude, and me and Adam was playing, and we landed at the estate.
I love that place.
And I thought I'd picked up two grenades, right? So there was a duo on top of the hill, and they were shooting across the way. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to go up there and get them, Adam. So I threw a grenade up there, knocked one dude down, and I ran around the corner. And what I thought was a grenade was the grapple gun.
Oh,
so
shit.
I threw it, thinking it was a grenade. I grappled across the estate's parking lot, blasted that dude, and killed him. Adam was like, yo, that was sick. Like, yeah, dude, totally an accident.
that's the kind of
totally
stuff I love.
I thought I was going to throw a grenade.
In this new Call of Duty, I got to say, we were talking a lot about this leading up to this launch, and they're doing it. This game is good. I'm watching the streamers. A lot of the streamers who primarily play Fortnite are bouncing between Fortnite and Call of Duty. Some of them have just consistently played the new Call of Duty, and it's good enough to do that. I mean, it's a solid, solid game. It's got a lot of nostalgia playing some of these older maps. I mean, I'll tell you, when you get in a jungle or something, for me, that's when I was playing Call of Duty constantly, like enough to wear muscle memory. And I don't even know, dude. I couldn't even tell you what that map looked like 2 weeks ago. But all of a sudden, I'm running. Everything just clicked. The first couple times I played, nothing was clicking. I was getting my ass kicked. And then all of a sudden, it was like I tapped into that part of my brain. And we go back into jungle. And I got like, I think 12 or 13 kills really quickly. Like, it was just clicking. And I was getting reaction times down and everything. Maybe it was just because I've been playing so much
Fortnite. Dude, I'm telling you right now,
dude,
this game, if it keeps going as smooth as it's going, I mean, I've played quite a bit, zero server shutdowns or zero had to like back out of the map, any of that stuff, man. And it's amazing. Now, I think I've only played like maybe six multiplayer matches, and on those I did get a good game. I went 20-2 on that. Was awesome. But we've been playing Blackout, dude. Blackout is amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean,
isn't
I have
it?
Six, I think I've got 68 or 69 kills in Blackout right now, and I've only died like 37 times.
Well, I be honest with you, I haven't played a whole lot because I've gone into Call of Duty a couple times. And I don't have, there's no one to play with. So that's one of the
things. Are you not seeing me online?
I do not see you online. I have not seen you online other than Caleb messaging me.
Wonder if one of the kids made me offline. I have to check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, check it out. Because
I'm appearing offline.
Yeah, I honestly have not seen you online for at least a week or two. Other than I see Caleb.
I think I'm showing offline. I'll have to fix that tomorrow, dude. We have to get on tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, man, I'm down. I mean, every day I go to play any game, and I'll see who my friends are who's online, and if anyone is on that's playing Blackout or whatever, I'll jump in there, but it just hasn't been. When I get into Call of Duty and I'm playing by myself, it's just not as fun. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's boring, man. I tried it the other day. I played a solo Blackout. I was just like, this sucks. To me, playing solo is just not that fun.
When you get a good group of people talking and having fun and just enjoying it.
I mean, I'm really enjoying Blackout, dude, because I like the fact that in this game, there is no builds. There is no, like, you can't just run. It isn't core. I mean, it's core, but it's not to the core aspect on multiplayer where you can, you know, jump in a room or run around a corner. Dude, there's not very many corners and very many rooms, you know, once you're out in, you know, the hills, and there's only trees and rocks.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What I've been doing here lately, man, is, you know, me and Adam's been sneaking around the map and, you know, sniping or doing whatever. But as soon as I get the drop on somebody and I hit them three or four times and that armor's gone, dude, I rush them. And I tell Adam, I'm like, dude, just cover my back. I'll throw a grenade or a flashbang. I'll come up on the right and just murder them, dude. It's because it's fun.
Are you doing duos or squads?
What's that? Yeah, we playing duo. Me and him only played duo.
Okay.
Like a while ago, we were running away from the blue, and I'm like, damn it, dude, we got caught in the blue. Well, right as I come out of the blue, a duo comes right beside me and lays down. And I just murked them. They had no clue where I was at. I was running beside them the whole time.
You know, the one thing that I guess it comes with playing more, but I have no idea what customizations are better. I wish there was an area I could go to test all the guns and all the different, loadouts, because I'm running through.
I mean, you have to really basically look it off of multiplayer, honestly, because, like, for me, like, the guns that I try and stick with is the ABR, which is really good. I think it's that four-round burst gun. The Auger is a really good gun. The KN57 is a badass gun. The LMGs in Blackout aren't that great, because, I mean, you're not really going to use a Titan and do that well. Now, on multiplayer, if you're playing hardcore, you can use anything and do really well.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's what my problem was, because I'm over here running around and with light machine guns. I just don't know, personally, I don't know the names of any guns.
If you're going to pick up any gun in Blackout, though, man, like, the Vapor, I like the Vapor because it shoots super fast. So if you get in close quarters with somebody, man, you can unload a clip pretty quick in somebody.
I just want one. I don't want I want a P90 and an M16. Just, you know.
Yeah, I know, right? Wish it was that easy. Dude, I like sniping. I hit a dude earlier today in the back for 200, dropped him like a bad habit. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude, I fucking love sniping.
And I promise to Adam, I won't be kamikaze. I want to play this game for real. I'm same with my playstyle for Fortnite has been a bit different, too, and I've seen a drastic increase in just the quality.
We're kamikaze bro on this game for real. He gets pissed at me. I'm like, Adam, he's down. I'm going. He's like, wait, man. I'm like, no, dude, he's down, which means either his teammates kind of get him or I'm going to get him. And he's like, damn it, man, you got to tell me when you're going. Like, my bad, dude. I couldn't
rubbing
wait.
Off on you.
He was like, damn it. There's a couple of times. There's a couple of games we could have probably won if I didn't rush in.
Now you know the thrill. The thrill of it all, man.
Unlike Fortnite, you know, you can build a wall around them and a roof and all this other shit, and it takes 10 minutes to get through a wall. And, nah, man, in Blackout, you knock somebody down, they ain't going nowhere. There's nothing to build, so you throw a grenade or a concussion grenade and just charge them, man.
I will say, though, one of the things on Fortnite that I appreciate is the esports scene that's going on. They're putting a lot of money on the table. They're changing some people's lives significantly. And these Friday Fortnite matches, so right now they're in week five, four or five, I think it's five, of the fall skirmish. So they had the summer skirmish to kind of test out this tournament style thing that they do. And for the fall skirmish, they have 400 players, I think, or 200 or 400 players. Some half are from North America, the other half are from EU. And every Friday, they do six games with 100 people selected from EU. And then they do six games with 100 people selected from North America. And every week, it's a different batch of people or a mix and match of people. So you get to watch 12 games, but these games are not like a standard game of Fortnite. These games are the highest level of Fortnite play. And yeah, it's a lot of base building. It's a lot of turtling up and whatever. But when they get to like the final circle and it's the size of a pin needle and there's 18 people left, you're just like, holy Christ, man, what is going on here? But they're getting better at broadcasting it, and they have some cool people doing the announcing and stuff. So it's getting better. I would say Summer Skirmish had a lot of inconsistencies while you're watching it, and so the team that's putting this
stuff together, Fortnite is a great game, dude, but their Call of Duty or Blackout has it's come out and there's a huge following of Call
absolutely
of Duty. And this one is actually stood up to the hype that everybody put it on.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
The Blackout itself, just Blackout alone, in my opinion, is worth $60. Like, yeah. I haven't even played the campaign. I haven't even played zombies. I haven't played that much multiplayer. I turn the game on, I go straight to Blackout. I mean, they got double XP weekend going on right now. Don't even care. Dude, I'm playing Blackout. It is by far, in so many different ways, better than Fortnite. And you can compare it to Fortnite because it is the exact same game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Except there's no building. But I mean, I just think Epic is, they knew that going in, and I think they're just trying to you know, find different routes and different ways to keep everything going. But I'm just like, eventually this train is going to come to a screeching halt, I think. There's only so much stuff Fortnite can do, man, because, I mean, I've seen a lot of streamers get, you know, they're getting burnt out.
They are, but at the same time, they're being exposed to things that no game has ever offered. And, yeah, you have these leagues out in, you know, South Korea and all that. You have these, there are esports leagues for Counter-Strike and League of Legends and a whole slew of games. But the focus on this as compared to those is anybody can pick up these games and play them and do okay. Okay, I'm not going to say great, but Wesley, my four-year-old, can play this game, laugh, enjoy himself, and have fun. So to have such a broad spectrum of skill set, when you watch these tournaments, that's why I brought it up in the tournaments, is it's something else. Even these tournament players, when they play in regular mode against anybody, yeah, they mop up the map and they do really good most of the time, but the unexpected, it's kind of like when you're playing blackjack, right? Or I'm not blackjack, poker. And you're playing poker against people who don't know how to play poker. And yeah, most of the time you can tear them up. But then you have these people like making the stupidest bets and you can't read them. You don't know what's going on, and sometimes they take you, and it's just this luck of being stupid. And so the same thing kind of happens in Fortnite. I mean, Jagger will get a sniping headshot from a mile away. It doesn't matter who's on the other end of it. If that bullet hits, they're going down.
Yeah.
But when you're playing, when you see these 100 people who are all really, really good going at it, and you see this different level of play, for me, it's funner to watch than a Call of Duty game, at least how it's being presented. The building and stuff, that aspect plays into why it's fun to watch for me as an esport. Playing, I really enjoy playing the Call of Duty multiplayer. I did play some multiplayer, and I really enjoy playing the Call of Duty Blackout game. So I think playing Blackout, personally, is just a personal opinion, but playing it is a lot more fun than watching it. It's still fun to watch. I watch Dr. Disrespect on Twitch. He plays this game exclusively now, and he's really good at it. So I have a fun time watching him play. But at the same time, I don't know if it's just the visuals or if it is the destruction of the elements, the building and all that. There's something about that I enjoy personally, that it still draws me to it, and obviously draws a lot of people to it. But there's no doubt that Blackout, that Call of Duty has impacted the scene. And I can't be happier with how they've jumped on the map with this new Battle Royale that they brought out.
I mean, you know, a lot of these big streamers, though, going in, they were like, yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. I'm definitely going to play it. You know, and you got people like Ninja. It's like, nah, man, Fortnite's not going anywhere.
Ninja's been playing.
Anything to it. And I'm like, man, you really can't say that. Like, it's going to have an impact, or else you wouldn't be worried about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you weren't so worried about it, you wouldn't be posting and you know, banning people, saying if you don't, you know, you're talking shit about Fortnite, you're gonna get banned from the channel and blah blah blah. You know, they're getting worried because I get it, that's their job. They're making money from Fortnite, you know, and they don't want some other game to come in and take, you know, a quarter or half of their population and go play another game. You know what I mean? They're wanting the population to stay. But you know, Blackout's only been out, what, 2 weeks, I think?
Yeah.
And dude, it's got nothing but great things going on. There's not really much you can read about it that's not good. I mean, yeah. I can go on Google right now and type in, you know, shotgun inconsistency, and it's going to pop up Fortnite, because 1 second you do 4 damage, another second you do 400. And as a matter of fact, I was watching a YouTube clip yesterday. This guy did he had a shotgun. I think it was like an orange pumper or the orange heavy shotgun. He ended up doing 367 damage, and the guy still killed him. Literally, the only guy in the room hit him 3 times for 367 damage. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on with this game? Yeah, man, it was hilarious. There was no time to heal. There was no time to put a shield on. Nothing. 367 damage. But, I mean, it is what it is, though. The game's still good, though.
It's fun to see the competition amongst games, the competition within... I mean, at least we're not looking at an empty list of games. You know, when you go to Twitch or whatever, we're not looking at what is there to play this week. There's something. There's something to watch, and there's something to buy. There's something to get out and participate in. And at least for the genre we're talking about, right? There's people who, like last or 2 weeks ago, Darren's not into either one of these games. He didn't even know the specifics of what Fortnite was, which is funny to me because of how big the game is and how big of a gamer he is. But I guess if you just don't give a shit, you're not diving in, you're not learning about it, you're not going to spend any time.
Yeah, you don't give much thought about it. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't know, man. Fortnite's fun and all, but I think it's geared more towards for kids. And I think Blackout is, and I knew going in, though, I was only going to play Fortnite until Blackout came out or another Call of Duty came out, because to me, Fortnite is, it's not about being a good shot at a lot of points. It's about building. And that aspect of the game isn't as fun for me.
It's a bit of both. And the building for a long time got me really frustrated, but they've made leaps and bounds, at least on a controller perspective, with how you can build. They have the Builder Pro, and then they even added customizable buttons.
Yeah, they have the hotkeys, or not hotkeys, but yeah, the faster building and stuff like that, which is really good, which puts us on a level with computers almost, like, you know, yep. Hotkeys on a keyboard.
Yeah, and since I got the SCUF controller, I'm used to that, so I have extra buttons and stuff for me personally. It really comes down to what's your flavor for the day. I mean, I personally like both games a lot, so it doesn't matter to me. It comes down to who's playing. So if nobody's playing, and it's just me playing by myself, I have a lot more fun personally playing solos or doing solo squads and stuff in Fortnite, because I veg out and my timing is getting really good in that game and stuff. So for me personally, but that I can imagine if I played like a couple rounds with you and Adam or just you or whatever, and just got accustomed to playing that and get my timing down good there, instead of playing the next time there's no one on, instead of playing Fortnite, I could see myself switching over to Call of Duty. I mean, I played the hell out of Call of Duty. I played hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of Call of Duty. Not as much as you, according to the stats that they sent you, but but I played a lot.
I know, right? Them stats were nice, dude. I was excited.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
Like, damn, I did pretty good.
Although those didn't include Modern Warfare 2, which I'm pretty sure almost ended my relationship.
Dude, that didn't include that was only Black Ops. So yeah. 1, 2, and 3, mind you, I didn't play a whole lot of Black Ops. I played Ghost. Played Ghost.
Yeah, I played a lot of
Ghost. Modern Warfare 2 and stuff like that. I didn't really play a lot of the Black Ops. I didn't like the game, the gameplay on a couple of those.
You know, they put Modern Warfare 2 on Xbox One, and they spruced it up, and I went in there.
Yeah, man, it looks bad. I heard it was badass, man.
It's good. It really is. It's fluid. Colors are a little bit more vibrant, and the controls are like the current game today, as opposed to just they were kind of slow and sluggish before. And man, it's good. So. I really hope for a remastered edition of that in the future, because Modern Warfare 2 was my nostalgia right there. Is those maps I have embedded in the back of my head. Like, you just can't take those maps out. The Black Ops, it's great, like Estate and Jungle. What's the other? Oh, Firing Range. Really cool.
Yeah, dude.
To like,
which is cool to me. They put a little bit of all those on the Blackout map, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love how they integrate.
Like,
I loved
the States, man. That was my map. It was fun.
You know which one I like dropping into is the
Asylum?
The Asylum. Yeah, I like dropping in there. It's an interesting aspect into the map. I mean, they added zombies into the map, and you could get killed by those zombies.
Yeah. I hate like landing somewhere and then you're like looting the house, and then all of a sudden you hear the zombie music kicking. I'm like, "Oh shit." Where they at? Then you like focus from killing any, you focus from like killing anybody or listening or trying to be sneaky to just shooting the shit out of some zombies.
Oh, and then everybody knows you're there, but everyone knows there's always going to be people at the asylum. But I love landing in the maze outside and getting that rush, because you really feel, you can hear everybody around you also running around, and you're like, I don't know who's my teammate, I don't know who's not my teammate. I don't have a gun yet, and a lot of times you get lucky, but it's just the thing with Call of Duty too is like you were saying. I mean, when you get hit, tap 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 tap, you know, you're down.
Oh, you can get smoked quick, man. I mean, I've had tier 3 or level 3 body armor, full health, and dude, I've got hit like ting 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 done. I'm like, holy shit! And you know, kind of finally had the ICR or they had. You know, whatever, the KN-57. And dude, if you're dead on with those guns, I'm telling you, man, it's a whole nother world.
Yep. Yeah, it's a different thing. I mean, you're down quick, and if you're doing the solos, if you're doing solo whatever, no squads or whatever, you're out. I mean, you get hit, you're out. At least with the multiplayer.
You're out quick.
Yeah, if you have a team, you can get revived somehow, but usually you can't crawl or anything. Or can you crawl when you're down? I don't think you can.
You can crawl, but it's not. It's
slow,
nothing like
right?
Fortnite,
super
where you can
slow.
Go, you know, crawling down to the damn.
Yeah, you can get away
to your
quick.
Mom at her house.
I feel like
there ain't much crawling.
Yeah, when you're down in Call of Duty, it's pretty much over. I mean, people aren't letting you take a breather.
That's what I tell. That's what me and Adam was talking about. While you know, yesterday or today, we landed at the Newtown, and these guys rushed us, and I knocked one of the guys down. I was like, dude, don't worry about me. Knock it. Make sure you get his teammate.
Yep.
In that dude's life. Like, forget about me. Adam's like, oh, no, I got him. I'm like, well, good. But that's always fun, though, man, going out there and, like, finishing up somebody after your teammate, you know, either went down or... you know, got killed or they're knocked down and they're over in the corner trying to like survive, and then your teammates out there running around. I mean, that's fun too, man. I always get nervous though, dude. Like, as soon as you knock somebody down or your teammate gets knocked down, you're trying to revive them, and you just hear footsteps. I'm like, oh my
man.
God, dude, they're on us.
Same with like when you're rummaging through someone's bag, you know, you don't know how many people have a line on you. And you just
fired
your
gun. That's actually what I like about it, though, is it's not like in Fortnite where all their gear just drops and you can just run in circles and pick up stuff where no one can get a beat on you. No, dude, when you drop your shit in Blackout, wherever you killed them, that's where you got to get your gear. And it can be in the middle of a road. It could be in the middle of a hill. It could be in a bush. It could be wherever.
Say you don't have a backpack. Can you just pick up their whole backpack, or do you still have to go through it?
Oh, no, you have to go through it.
Okay. On computer, they have a lot better system. They can actually, the menu comes up, and they can see everything within it and drag. We have to, like, one at a time, left, you know, it's like, man, it's not almost, for me personally, every time I go do that, I'm end up getting picked off, and it's not worth sticking around. I'm just like, well, whatever.
That's
I got
on. That's one thing I wish... I hope that does get changed is the bag, like how fast you can sift through the bag, I guess you say, but that's the only thing that sucks is going through those bags, man.
I mean, a menu should pop up like the computer menu where you can just hover over the items and go up and down, left and right on there, and just hit X to send it over to, you know, your inventory, or then you know, maybe R1 gets you over to your inventory and X throws the shit out of your bag into theirs or whatever. And maybe if you don't have a backpack.
It's kind of cool, though, man, because you can sit there and snipe people or just camp a bag, which is, I've done that a couple times, which is kind of fun.
People blend in, too. That's the other cool thing.
Oh, there's a bag in the middle of the highway, in the middle of the street. I think, everybody should be gone. Nope, as soon as you lay down, dude, you're smoked.
Yeah, seriously. In Call of Duty, a lot of times when you're playing, you feel like, oh man, I got a great spot. No one can see me. And then you see the replay and you look like a sore thumb, you know? In this game.
Yeah, you're just sticking out like a damn.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
An idiot. That's
every
happened
time.
Me a couple of times in this game.
But in this game.
Laying down on the grass, I'm like, oh man, no one can see me up here. Yeah, right.
But for the most part, what I was going to say is they've done a really good job of implementing camouflage to where you can kind of, if you're slow and methodical about your movements, no one's going to see you.
Oh yeah, there's quite a few good spots on the map though, like hiding behind trees and rocks and getting the right angle and looking down the hills. And yeah, there's some good spots you can get on. That's for sure.
It definitely feels vast, you know, and lifelike. Where if I was running around these hills, I mean, how many points could someone be? Someone could literally be laying in the middle of the grass with a gun pointed at me or pointed at somebody else or whatever. How would I see them, you know? In Fortnite, obviously, people are running around with friggin' crazy outfits on. You can see people from a mile away. If you turn your resolution down, it's easier to see. And actually, that's one last note about Fortnite is they have a big event coming up this weekend, TwitchCon. As much as you're done with it, I do implore you.
I'm done with it. I mean,
I do implore you to check out.
I don't know, man. I'm over it. Fortnite was fun. It was fun for the.
But just for the.
What was it, like a year we played?
For the competitive aspect, right? Not the playing aspect. Play the game, play Blackout, all that. But like when you're on break or whatever, jump in and watch one of these videos. Just one of the games of these competitive games. Because they're really fun to watch, in my opinion. So this weekend they have TwitchCon. And Epic is flying all these gamers out there for the final, the finale of the Fall Skirmish, and they have rules. If you watch any of the streams on Twitch, some people play stretched screen, which is like a resolution that does not look good at all, but they happen to be some of the best players in the world, and they're household names now in the Fortnite community. I know Myth was one of them. Myth played stretch, and he doesn't play stretch anymore, but they made a mandate that this week coming up, they have to play on the computers that are provided with the resolution that's provided. So it's a level playing field. And some of these players, like Bizzle and Poach, that's the names. Bizzle and Poach are the two big ones. They're some of the winningest Fortnite players out there. And they both are like, this is bullshit. I play on stretched screen. I play on different resolution.
Yeah, because it's almost like cheating. I mean, honestly.
Yeah,
it's just another edge or another advantage you're taking when it's just like in Blackout, all right? It's just like in Blackout the other day, or I noticed that there's a mode, the camera mode, or when, like, if you want to take a picture or something that was going on, they took that out of the game almost instantly because people were using it to look around corners and, try and cheat the system.
Yep.
So they were like, nope, you're out. Thanks for playing.
The other thing that these streamers do is they turn their resolutions way down. They turn shadows off. They turn grass off. They turn off all this stuff that is meant to add the realistic nature of the, not realistic, but it adds to the gameplay, makes it look better and all that. But when you take these elements away, it's easier to spot.
Yeah, it's just players. Like cheating. I mean, that's all it is. Now you put these guys in a regular match, and I guarantee you they're going to get smoked.
Well, that's what's funny is these guys specifically are pissed off, and other people are pissed off because they're all going to be playing on the same computer, but it's going to have shadows on Epic. Everything is going to be on Epic quality. And what they've been playing on, most of these streamers are playing on low to medium settings. A couple of them put a few things on Epic quality, like draw distance, for example. They want that to be as best as it can. But shadow rendering and all that, they turn all that off. And Epic came along and said, nope, this tournament, everything's going to look the best it can. And good for them, in my opinion, because these games, I mean, people are making millions of dollars. Millions. These kids, there's kids, 17, 18 years old, who are just good at this game, being invited, and they're pissed off. But I say, you know what? If Epic, this is a game where the playing field changes week to week, right? If Epic wants to change that aspect and make their game look good, and they're offering $10 million for a six-week tournament, they're allowed to. You know, they're allowed to do that. Now, they shouldn't have lag.
Oh, yeah, why wouldn't they?
They shouldn't have lag, and lag shouldn't impact you from winning, where it did the other day at the very end of one of the games. Lag just went nuts because there were so many people in that final circle building and all that, and the game just had a hard time rendering it all.
I mean, to this day, I still don't think Fortnite has their shit together when it comes to the server.
I mean, the game's been out way too
long to have all the inconsistency that it's got. I mean, not just the lag, but like the weapon. I mean, you can't even play back-to-back games with any weapon and it be consistent. That's what pisses me off. Like you get the same gun and you play 10 matches. And I'm telling you, out of those 10 matches, you're not going to shoot somebody for the same damage, and that shit drives me crazy. I mean, yeah, I think that's how Epic wanted it to be, but it's just like, dude, it's so frustrating because
it's the RNG, random number generation. What they do is they, you know, you have a chance if you fire within the radius or whatever, and they take into account whether you're moving or not. And it's a roll of the dice. More often, the weight is towards, if you're slow and steady and you have the pinpoint precision or whatever, the first shot, there's always a boost on your first shot, accuracy and things like that.
Yeah.
So those things right there, if you use them to your advantage, you can take off with it. But at the same time, like you're saying, yeah, that bloom, that randomness of whatever, even the best of best are sitting there going, what the hell? Like some games, it's just the bloom is not for you. I've been getting lucky in a lot of my playing lately. Certain guns are just really, really accurate, much more accurate in my precision. And I've dialed in a couple of things. I've changed the sticks. I have on my SCUF controller, I have long analog sticks and short analog sticks. I've been playing with long ones since I got the controller. And there was just something about it. I mean, on my regular DS4, I had long analog sticks, but this is a bigger controller. It's like the size of like an Xbox controller. So my hand doesn't.
Yeah, Sam, they're pretty big.
Yeah, my hand doesn't fit around it the same as it does a DS4. DS4, it's like a nice and tight grip, and I love the DS4. This one, I don't love the. I'm getting used to it, but I don't love it as much as the DS4. So I changed the stick length down to the short one. And just personally, I've noticed a huge difference in my accuracy and things like that. So little things, you just get comfortable here and there. And that's why I can understand where these kids are coming from, pissed off that things have to change. But at the same time, you're getting the offer to go play for millions and it's on their terms.
Yeah, they're just stop crying. You're getting paid millions of dollars.
A baseball player
game to begin with.
Baseball player getting pissed off that an ump called an out or a strike when it was a ball or whatever. You know, it's like every game. Yeah, it might be a little bit different, but you don't get to make the rules, okay? So you do what the league tells you. The league is epic, and I really hope that we start seeing some Call of Duty leagues, because
they already do that every year with the Call of Duty competition. But again, that's different. That's actual the same damn people like every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm liking the week to week. I'm getting into it, and I also like the fact that you can follow specific people on Twitch and start to. Get to know the personalities, kind of like you're watching a baseball game or a football game and you like the player or whatever. There's certain streamers that I really enjoy watching, and I've learned about new streamers by watching some of these leagues. I wish that they did a better job of getting us to the streamers' content, right? So when you go to Fortnite's thing, they have their own show, like they're broadcasting, and they cut between different players and stuff, and so you might care more about Ninja, right? But they're not going. They're not focusing on Ninja for this tournament, for example, and so you don't get to see him too much. You have to go to Ninja's stream, and you have to know to go to Ninja's stream. Like they don't have that listed. Somebody made this really phenomenal tool where you can watch like up to 16 streams at a time or whatever. You just have to know the people's names, and it's really this awesome tool. It's great. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see if I can get the name of that while I'm. Doing this here. It's called the Skirmish Viewer. And it is for Fortnite, but you could actually repurpose it for, I mean, you could put any Twitch channel in there. And not just Twitch, but you could also put YouTube channels in there and it will pull it up and you can rearrange them and everything. So it's fnbr.live is the name of the website. So Fortnite Battle Royale.live, fnbr.live. And they do have like quick shortcuts to some of the players that are in this league, but if you put in Team Emar Gaming up there, I'm pretty sure. Let me check it out. Yeah, you put it. You type in Team Emar Gaming.
I don't think Team Emar Gaming is gonna be in there, buddy.
but my point is, like, you could build your own. This isn't specific to Fortnite. Yeah. So I just put in Team Emar Gaming, and your channel came up, and. You got 400 viewers right now. I'm just kidding. FNBR.live gets you a tool that you can load multiple Twitch streams at the same time. So when you're watching a tournament or something. But I mean, why is this? This is built by a user, not the game, not Epic. So I'd like to see these billionaires put a little bit more effort into getting us access, like live stats. Right? You're watching a game with 100 players. You should be able to see who's alive if you go to the website or something.
Yeah, you should be able to see some kind of active
they flash that information up on the screen.
On.
Every once in a while, that information pops up, and they talk about, oh, look how many kills this guy has. But, like, why isn't there a companion app or something for this stuff? Maybe it's coming, but like you said just a few minutes ago, the game's been out long enough to have some of these problems. I think, and I've worked in the tech industry. I worked, you know, T-Mobile is a pretty prominent company now, but I was there for the growing pains and all that. Even when you have the growing pains and things are ramping up, the turnaround time, you get shit done. Now, Epic has like more money than anybody, and a lot of it is just extra cash because people are buying fucking costumes, right? There's no, the designer who came up with that shit is done doing it, right? It's not like that's residual cost. The servers, they know how to, they're already paying for them. They're probably adding to them and this and that. So anyways, long story short, that's just like people walking in the front door with bags of money going, here you go, where you want it, you know? They're obviously still spending money to make money.
I don't think Fortnite, I've been talking shit about it. I don't think Fortnite's going to go anywhere. I think it's going to lose people. But at the same time, the following is so big. Even if 10 million people left, it's not going to affect them that much. It really ain't. Hell, no, even if half their people left, they still have how many millions of people playing this game? That's still going to buy the outfits. It's still going to buy
And it just came out on Android for all devices, so now you can go download it. Like I got it on my phone.
That's what I'm saying. It's everywhere, dude. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere. But
people are playing these other games, and I'll sure as shit buy Battlefield 5 too. I mean, I know I played the beta, and I dig it a lot. I mean, I was really enjoying it. My thing is, this will be the end of the Call of Duty Fortnite segment here, but my thing is, I was talking to Jed about this the other day. We were hanging out, and he's a real picky person when it comes to a lot of things, food or games or whatever, right? If the game isn't exactly the way he wants it to be, it sucks and he's done with it. And, you know, they make changes, he'll try it again or whatever on Fortnite, for example, but, he's not bad at the game. I mean, he just jumped in the other day and we played, he hasn't played in months. We jump in and we get a win. And then we play again, and we get another win. So it's like he can play, he can hold his own, but he really likes specific styles of games and this and that. Same with food, right? We go to a restaurant and, he ordered some egg rolls and some this and that. He ordered like five things off the menu. And one of the things wasn't exactly how he would have done it if he were in his kitchen. And the owner came over and he's like, hey, did you like the new egg rolls? They're a new item on our menu. And he's like, no, I didn't. They weren't that good. You know, you have this one sauce. I would try a mustard sauce. And the owner just looked at him like, fuck you, dude. And it was pretty funny. And I'm like, you know, I'm thankful that somehow my makeup I don't get picky, right? If tonight's night to eat is McDonald's, I'll enjoy it. If there's something disgusting about it, I'll go get something else, right? If it's Taco Bell.
I'm not a big picky person when it comes to food, man. I mean, if it's food, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, well, I'm going to move on.
Yeah, you just move on. And like, you know, if you go to a really good meal, man, I'll enjoy that too. But I can sit down and enjoy a piece of pizza just as much as a filet mignon. I really can. Now, I'd prefer the filet mignon, but at the same time, I'm happy having pizza. Happy. Not just satisfied. I'm happy usually eating whatever. If my wife makes me food, 99% of the time, I'm just smiling because it's there for me and I didn't have to make it, and I enjoy every bite. So that being said, same for me with games, right? Not every game has to be a AAA title. Not every game has to hit it out of the park. And there's a lot of love. This whole podcast is about how many freaking games we got to play. And we end up talking about the same couple, but it makes a point, right? Those are the ones on the forefront of our minds. Those are the ones we want to be playing most of the time. But we can like them all. We can like the Call of Duties. We can like the Fortnites. We can also like Astrobot. And Joe?
I'll tell you what. Guess what our next podcast is going to cover?
What's that?
Oh, that Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, shit. Did you pre-order it?
Did I pre-order it? Somebody's already downloaded it on my PlayStation, buddy.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm waiting on that one. I am waiting on that one. Not for a price drop.
You're waiting? What a turd nugget. Why are you waiting?
I'm waiting to hear your review for first and foremost. But
I'll definitely give you a review, big dog, because
that game's going to
be badass.
Yeah, that game's going to be there in a year, 2 years. I got a lot of shit to play. And I started building up on my backlog a ranking system on the games I got to play, that I got to beat, that I got to start. You know, like Spider-Man definitely is like number one. That's this week coming up.
Can't believe you beat Spider-Man. I'm about to whoop your ass. I'm about to go to Florida and whoop your ass, dude.
No, Joe, I mean, I haven't done shit. I got this 3D printer. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been doing everything I can to learn more about 3D printing. I love it. I love it so much. For some reason, it's just hitting home. And I have so much stuff to build. And in order to be able to build it, I have to build certain things to make my printer better. Like, I have to build fans and bases and all this stuff. So I can upgrade my printer by having a printer. So I can, you know, I bought a cheapo printer. And every little thing I do to it enhances it.
Turns into a better printer.
Yeah, for pennies on the dollar, right? If I go buy the better printer for $1,000, you know, all that stuff will be there. But I'm making it, and I'm learning how to use the printer by making it. And so that's really been the priority for me over the last couple of weeks. So I've been playing a little bit of gaming here and there, but the thing that's drawing me right now is this 3D printer. It's a lot of fun, and there's so much. I mean, I've got years of catching up to do, because people have been making things for many years on 3D, you know, this Thingiverse and all these different websites.
I don't think a 3D printer is on the backlog there, guy.
Well, the reason it's on the backlog is I have certain things like my SCUF controller or my headphones or this or that, that my PlayStation camera, for example, all these things that I have. You should see my little workstation here, but I have like boom arms for a camera, boom arms for my microphone. I have all these things, right? Well, I can print out more customized holders for everything. So it's like seamless, exactly for the environment that I have. And for example, I made it myself inside of a 3D modeling tool, a little tray for my my Stream Deck.
I'm Joe.
And I wouldn't, you know, now I can easily, now that's my Stream Deck, right?
So yeah.
And so if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to hit these buttons so easily.
3 hours later.
And so.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Hell yeah, man. So basically I built a little workstation for my my control panel. And so it makes it a little bit easier to do that kind of stuff. I built a holder for my my controller, because it kept falling on the floor, and this is a goddamn $200 controller. I don't want that breaking. I built a holder for USB cables so that I can kind of like, when I'm done playing, I can grab the you know, or when I'm playing, I can hook the cable up so it goes in a spot rather than dangling all over the place. And things like that. So, you know, I'm utilizing it.
No, I totally get a 3D printing thing, man, because a buddy of mine at work's got one. He's always talking about making random shit, but you know, it's a hobby, man. Hobbies cost money.
Yep, absolutely.
Just like gaming.
But so I've been doing that.
Yeah, man, other than that, we're gonna definitely cover
Red Dead
this now, weekend. I'll have that coming in, and I'll Spider-Man DLC is coming out soon too, so that'd be something fun to cover.
It definitely that I can't wait to hear about Red Dead. So I'm it's on the back burner, and I'm lying right now if I say I probably won't buy it. I probably will, but I'm gonna try and wait just because I don't need it right now. But let me segue into what we were talking about at the top of the show. Okay, why should Joe get VR? You better believe that Borderlands 2 is coming to VR, right? It's happening. That's not the game. That's not the game that I think should bring you into VR. I think it's a game that you will enjoy in VR. I'm crossing my fingers here because no one knows right now. But that was such an unexpected announcement. All the VR world's kind of shocked. There are some things about it that aren't awesome. For example, you can't use the aim controller. But I get it, right? In Borderlands, you're dual wielding half the time. So they want you to be using the DS4 or the Move controllers. And they did factor in the Move controllers for dual wielding. So, you know, you can be firing left and right and everything and all that fun stuff. The other aspect that maybe will change, they're not looking into it right now, is co-op mode. There is no co-op mode. And so I know that's a huge factor.
Really?
Yeah, that's a huge factor for Borderlands. Who knows if they'll surprise us and bring it in, but this is going to be a single-player game, and I don't know. I don't know if this is just a test for Borderlands 3, or if they have something else in the woodworks, or if it was just kind of easy to implement into VR, or hard to implement into VR. I don't know. But it's kind of funny that not even 3 or 4 weeks ago we were talking about what's next for Borderlands. We haven't heard anything, and all of a sudden, boom, Borderlands 2 VR. It's a, in my opinion, you take Skyrim, you have Tetris, and there's really not a lot of other games that have the player base already, the impact that it could bring to VR if it's good. And I'm looking forward to Borderlands 2 VR significantly. I think you should get a VR for that, no doubt. But Astrobot is the game. If you've listened to any reviews, even if you heard me talking about it a little bit last week, we all say it's great, and it's got a charismatic character, it's got a story, it's got a lot of stuff to it. But this game is Mario in 3D. Mario in VR. They built a platformer game that only really works in VR. Maybe it would work in 2D too, but not the same. This game is so good, and it's perfect for kids and adults, just like Mario is, right? You can get in and play some Mario. The bosses are cool. Just the aspect of how you... So the purpose of the game is you're a robot, or I'm sorry, you're controlling a robot who's trying to make their way through the levels. You know, stage 1-1, 1-2, just like in Mario, making your way through. And you have to collect, you have to find all the robots within each level. They're tucked away, they're hard to find. Even in level 1-2, there's two I can't find. And I'm not going online to cheat. They make little noises and stuff, they squeak or whatever, and you gotta find them. And the only way to really find them is to truly use the virtual reality. You gotta look around. Sometimes you gotta bend all the way over and look under shit. You gotta look around corners, and you're constantly trying to find, you know, how to hit the button to open up the next thing, to get to the next area, all that stuff. And it's factored in. The graphics, you know, it's a clean game. Very, very pristine looking graphics. But the coolest part about it is 10 minutes into playing this game, I forgot I was playing VR. I was just playing a game.
This is the thing I might enjoy then.
You would love this game. You would absolutely love it. Like I said, 10 minutes in, you don't even realize you're playing VR. You're just playing the game. And you're using all the things in VR naturally. No one's telling you, hey, look around a corner. You just know you can hear something, and you're like, shit, where is it? And you're looking all around. And you couldn't, it just wouldn't work in a 2D game. Not how they do it here. So check some reviews out. Watch some video of this game. If you are to get a VR unit, I'd say wait for Black Friday. It's coming up. The deals are going to be out there. They already have a bundle for Astrobot right now. And I think it's Astrobot and Creed. Creed, something real quick to talk about. Creed is a boxing game, came out by Servios. And Servios is one of these VR companies, or one of these game designers, that has been pumping out VR content. And they have like 5 or 6 different VR games for the PlayStation VR. And I think these games are also available on PC VR. But they are the best, some of the best games out there. So this one company, Servios, is just, and they're all different styles, right? You have a boxing game, you have a racing game, you have a climbing game, you have, what else do you have? The Electronauts game, where you're playing different instruments and stuff. And they're all relatively cheap, you know, $20 to $40. So they came out with Creed, which is based off of the movie Creed. And it's a boxing game, like Punch-Out or whatever. And they do have one already called...
That's probably pretty fun.
Yeah, it is fun. But so they have Knockout League, right? Knockout League, you're playing characters like an octopus or whatever, right? It's a little bit cartoony. This is the real deal, like you're boxing. But they added in multiplayer. So if you had it and I had it, we could box each other. And people are doing tournaments across the board. There's actually subreddits and groups on Facebook that are popping up where you can go register for tournaments and stuff, and you're boxing people. and it's really like it's such a cardio workout, and but it's a whole lot of fun. So that's a game right there that, I mean, do you want to get out there and get all sweaty playing VR? Maybe not, right? But at the same time, it's just this aspect that is really, really cool. So a couple of games coming out, 2018. There's still all these games here are listed for 2018 for the most part. I'm just going to read them off. We can get into them in a future episode. But just to talk about like the big hitters still coming for VR in 2018, we got Ace Combat, Dreams.
That's my game right there. But any game gets me, it'd be Ace Combat.
Oh, dude, Ace Combat's getting VR. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I play inverted controls, man. It's because of Ace Combat.
Oh shit, that's right. You told me about that, but I didn't realize. Yeah. So, it's gonna be a full game flat, and then they're getting a segment of the game is gonna be in VR. People are still skeptical as to how much is really going to be the content, but it's replayable. So if it's like 4 hours worth of content in Ace Combat, from what I understand, I've never really played it, but it's not a game once you beat, you never go back to. If you like that style of game, you can go back in. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize Ace Combat was your jam, now that I think about it.
Yeah, Ace Combat is probably really awesome, man, to tell you the truth.
So, yeah, you got that coming out. Now, that should be 2018. That actually might be January 2019 to top that off. But Dreams, that's coming out. Again, they're still saying 2018. They keep releasing things on their channel. So I think the game is pretty close to ready. I think it's more along the lines of the timing. So they're probably going to do a Christmas release or something like that. And obviously Tetris is November 9th. Cannot wait for that one. Beat Saber. Beat Saber is another one where it went gold. And they're putting the finishing touches on it. They just recently tweeted some things out positive about how the menus are, they're trying to work on the menus and all that for a specific style for PSVR. That's going to be big for PlayStation VR. It's already big on regular VR. I played it. It's a lot of fun. There's a game called Derisine, which is, I believe, the same people who made Bloodborne. From Software, I think, is the name of the company. This is a big developer jumping into the mix and getting into the VR, so it's exciting to see what they do. Blood and Truth, which...
Sweet, man. We got a couple good games coming up for some reviews to write on, then.
Hell yeah. So, do you remember the game you played with the guns? I forget the name of it now, but they finally...
Yeah.
They're releasing the full version of that game. It's called Blood and Truth. That's coming out. Another one, this is a cutesy one called Ghost Giant, where probably more for kids or younger adults, but it looks good. A game called Gollum, which has been on the radar since PSVR came out 2 years ago. It's just been delayed and delayed. It's supposed to be 2018. I doubt it. Probably see that in 2019. Megalith, which you're a centaur or a minotaur or something. Vacation Simulator,
nice.
Which is it's a follow-up to Job Simulator, which was a hell of a lot of fun. It's a silly first-person VR title where you're like in an office or whatever. I don't know what Vacation Simulator is going to be specifically about, but probably, you know, different aspects of going on vacation. That's a lot of fun. And then Borderlands 2, that comes out next month. I mean, geez, that's I can't wait. And Star Child, which is not a platformer, but like a scroll left to right type thing, but that one looks really, really interesting as well. So there's a lot of games on the horizon that we're going to be tapping into. There's still a good reason to get the VR.
I'm still not 100% sold yet. We'll find out.
Oh, man.
Something
will
get
out,
my attention, maybe.
You go to YouTube, you type in Astrobot, and you tell me what you think. All right? That's your homework for this next week.
All right. That's my homework for tonight.
Yeah, Astrobot. Yeah, your kids, this is a game. You tell me how much you like all these Nintendo games, man. This is the exact thing, and it's in this new style that you cannot get anywhere else. So, you play the hell out of it. If you just put Nintendo's name on this game, it would sell billions. If you took this exact same game, I said this last week to Alex, you took this exact game and instead of the robot, you put Mario, all the enemies be the exact same enemies, and you just put Mario's name on it, this game, they would be talking right now about this being the best game ever. I'm serious. Just like Mario 64, just like Mario 3D World, all these games came out, and every time they say, wow, Mario's revolutionized. This is amazing. Every time they up the bar. Well, this is Mario with the bar upped. And it's instead of Mario, it's Sony's flagship, the newest character that they've come up with. And I think this one will stick. This is the little Astro guy. So this is Sony's version. And it's a different beast, but it's that same style, that same love. And you can jump into this game, and you can play it right off the bat, just like you do with any Mario. But at the same time, you fall in love with the character, you fall in love with the story, and you're looking to not rescue that princess, you're looking to rescue these robots. And they dance, and they're fun. So check it out.
All right, man. Sounds good.
So what else you got for
us?
Is that about it? We got anything else to talk about?
That's it, man. It is past my bedtime, and I'm about to go to bed and do another long day at work tomorrow.
Hey, as we wrap it up, I just want to let everyone know, you are now listening to a podcast that has two reverends hosting the show. Okay, Joe just...
That's right.
He just conducted a wedding ceremony this last week. I myself did one back in April. One of our listeners, shout out to Johnny. And I'll tell you what, man. Now you have two. You can't...
Now we have two reverends.
Two reverends, man. You for all you listeners out there looking for, the holiest of holy podcasts, you've come to it, okay? You've made it.
You found it. You
There's
have found
nowhere,
it.
Nowhere else to go. We're writing the sermons. We're talking to our peoples, to our disciples. And we're letting y'all know.
That's right, man.
And we're 22 episodes in. We're starting to solidify what this is all about. Now, Joe, it is always a pleasure having you.
It's always a pleasure getting on this thing, man.
I
just
want
to be more consistent with it, but dude, it's hard right now. But we'll get in the swing of it.
I let everyone know, man, you got a lot of shit going on, but I miss you, man. I missed you. And I'm glad to have you back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Missed you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah!
Dude, that never gets old.
As we were saying...
3 hours later.
Yeah, yeah! I like this blue box. Nice, man.
You could do a whole episode of me just talking. That's awesome.
I thought about it. I was going to cut up a whole, like, when you weren't going to make it to the last one, I was like, man, I should put, like, 45 different sound bites of Joe just going, uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yep. I was going to do that. And then,
Dude, you should.
Hey, maybe
They'd
that is.
Never know.
It'd maybe I'm epic. Doing, I might be doing that this episode. Maybe that, maybe you're not
I
even
know,
here.
Right? This isn't really me.
A little bit of something, something.
Oh, man. So, I could go all night. I'm going to have to start tucking these into the actual episode. But, Joe, I know you got to get to bed. So, without further ado.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Joe.
And this is...
I'm Joe.
You can just go ahead and close the show out with my soundbite.
I have it. I could. I want to hear it from you live, though. Let's do it. Let's do it live. We'll do it live.
All right, man. I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
And we are
the Backlog
Expo. Good night, everybody.
Plane.